Good morning. Welcome to worship today on another rainy day, but we're going to hear about the radiant light of Jesus today, and maybe that'll strangely warm our hearts if we're paying attention. So much to tell you guys about, so I'm just going to go so fast, and bear with me here as we go through these lots of announcements. This Wednesday is Ash Wednesday. This has been close to as late as you can have Easter, which means it's been close to as late as you can have Lent, but it is finally approaching us. So on Tuesday night, we're going to have a pancake dinner here put on by some of the women. If you're willing to help make some pancakes, talk with Kim, and I think 6 to 7:30 is what we said. Pancakes, just come eat. Just enjoy fellowship together. And then Wednesday, of course, is Ash Wednesday, so we'll have our service at 7 o'clock with Holy Communion and imposition of ashes. We tried really hard last year to keep that to a 30-minute service so that people could be home at a decent hour, especially so children could attend, but it's an important service in the life of our church year. And of our faith and our march toward the cross. So hope you can be there with us for both of those events next week as we approach Lent. Want to put in one last plug. This is our congregational vitality survey that we're taking just to get a snapshot of where we are according to you all. Take our temperature a little bit. This has been sent out by email a couple of times. If you get the church emails, it was in your email this week with the bulletin and the holly leaf coming out. And you can take this survey online and just not have anything to do with this paper. Show of hands, how many folks have taken that online? I'm just curious. So a fair number, 15 or so maybe. And we have about maybe that many more in the envelope back here, but we are going to wrap this up this week. So if you have not taken that survey in one form or another, they're exactly the same, so please only do one. Today would be a great day to get on your phone and do that survey on the way home, or to fill one of these out and put it back in the white envelope that's taped to the wall back there in the narthex. Please don't fold them if you do the paper copies, because they're machine scored. As we move toward Lent, we want to provide some ways for your family to take some intentional time out and see what God might be calling you to. So we have several devotionals. This one is called Living the Gospel Life. I like this one because it has good scripture readings in there that you can look up and read to go along with it. It's got several of those. They're short, so this is a good one for that one. This one is designed for families. It doesn't mean necessarily families with young children, although you could do these with families with young children. If you are likely to do the devotional with somebody else, whether that be friends or a husband or a wife or whatever, this one is designed to be done sort of together. So that is an option too. And for children, I've got some more, and I'm going to hand these out maybe at the children's sermon. These have stickers, although maybe I shouldn't hand these out at the children's sermon if we're going to then go to children's church. We'll talk about these at the children's sermon a little bit, but these have some stickers that go with them and an activity sheet to mark those 40 days of Lent. As you do your stickers, remember Sunday doesn't count technically as a day of Lent, so there's no sticker for that day. So lots of materials to help you with that Lenten journey. Want to remind you again, I've been saying this and I may be a broken record, but I don't want you to miss out. Most of the summer camps that we're affiliated with, Luther Ridge, Luther Rock, Camp Agape, have early pricing, and that early pricing ends somewhere around March 15th, I think. So check out what kind of events you might be looking at. There's $200 on the table from the congregation for our church members to go to Luther Ridge, Luther Rock, or Camp Agape. And the Lauren Cecil Fund will take applications for an additional $150 of support on that. So if you do all those things, you're probably looking at $350 toward that camp cost. And camps have scholarships available to help kids to make up those funds. We don't want anybody to not get to go to camp because of the funding. So take a look at those. There's information in the bulletin. Talk to me if you have questions. I know a lot about all of those camps. I know we have an announcement about the Lauren's Ladder Gala. Stephanie, you want to let us know about that? For pediatric hospice, right? Yeah, hospice for kids. Thank you. And if they want tickets, they can talk to you or a website.
LaurensLadder.org.
Thank you. As we think about the season of Lent and how we're going to mark that time, I know the availability to be at our Wednesday night Lenten services is different for everybody depending on what your life and work schedule looks like. On the next to the last sheet of your bulletin, there's the schedule for the GLAMA Lenten services. This is the Greater Lexington Area Ministers Association. There will be services at noon on Wednesday downtown at First Methodist every day. I'm helping lead the one on Wednesday for Ash Wednesday, and then the different denominations take a different day. I know we've got a few folks who have been a part of those. So I hope you'll be with us on Wednesday night, but if that doesn't work out for your schedule, this is another option to help you mark that time. I feel like I'm running right now, so I'm sorry to just be running at you with words. This is Wednesday lunch. The GLAMA services are Wednesday at noon. It's a half-hour service followed by lunch. But I want to also let you know a couple of folks that should be on our prayer list that I did not get in the bulletin this week. Barbara Kepley has been in the hospital this week with a blood clot and hopes to go home tomorrow, but she's been in since Monday. And then Sharon Everhart's sister Kathy has not been well and has been at Baptist for, I think, over a week, so we need to keep her in our prayers too. We'll pray for those folks, and I wanted you to know who they are. Sir. Thank you. Please.
Agape friends need to meet for a brief meeting after church, and anyone else that would like to help with the pancakes. That's our Tuesday night.
I got one more. Everybody knows Fonda works with us. She's 7 months. Her son Jerry had a heart attack last night and had to put a stent in. So he came on the prayer list to Jerry Bishop.
It's good to have a lot going on. It means that there is life in our congregation and that ministry is happening. And so I thank you for your patience as we walk through all of those things. We don't have any prayer shawls that I'm aware of this morning. We wish happy birthday this week to Danny and Denny, Walter and Betty, Jessica, Stephanie, and Drew. And happy anniversary to Archie and Joanne and to Pastor Matt and Carrie. I need to work on that a little bit. Are there other folks we should add to that list? Let's pray for them. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. strengthen them when they stand, comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful, raise them up if they fall. And in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have done. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by Christ's authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Holy God, mighty and immortal, you are beyond our knowing, yet we see your glory in the face of Jesus Christ. Transform us into the likeness of your Son, who renewed our humanity so that we may share in his divinity. Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. If the children will join me this way for a children's message. Good morning, everybody. I want to talk to you guys today about something. Do you guys know what Lent is? Okay, so you've got an idea that has to do with the cross. What about... you guys ever have lint in your belly button? No? Maybe you do and you're just not checking. That's what I'm wondering now. What about, has anybody ever seen your mom or your dad do the laundry at home? Okay, so you take the things out of the washing machine and they have to go in the dryer, but before you start the dryer, you have to do something. Does anybody know what it is? You have to clean the lint off. Yeah, there's a lint trap, right? And so there's all this, what is that stuff? What is it? Sort of like dust that maybe comes from our clothes or it looks kind of furry and strings, and sometimes there's hair in there. Yeah. Okay. So when we're doing laundry and we talk about lint, or if we talk about belly buttons and we talk about lint, that's what we mean, right? That furry kind of stuff that's in the dryer, or the stuff you might, the crud you might get out of your belly button. I don't know, maybe check later. Okay, that's what we talk about when we're talking about doing laundry and things like that. But when we talk about Lent in the church, we're talking about something different. In fact, it's spelled differently. Lent for us is a whole season of our church year, and you're absolutely right, Gracie, it has to do with the cross. Lent is about practicing.
What about lighting candles?
We light some candles in Lent, we do, yep. Do you guys ever practice anything? What kinds of things do you guys practice? Soccer, okay.
Basketball.
You soccer, basketball,
so
baseball, okay. Brody, what do you practice?
Math problems.
That's a great thing to practice. Coloring, okay. And why do you practice something?
So you can get better.
So you can get good.
So you get good at it. So you do better. You realize, I would like to do better at this than I can do right now, so I'm going to spend some time and try to practice those things so I can be better, right? That's what practice is about. Lent is a time when we are practicing to be better followers of Jesus. So we do lots of things that we can do all year round, but Lent is the time we think, you know what? I need to go to some practice right now while we lead up to the time of Easter. And so we do things like we spend intentional time in prayer. We sometimes give up things that might distract us from God. And we do things to try to help people. Those are all things we do during Lent to practice being better followers of Jesus. I've got a way that I want you guys to take home if you'd like to. And we'll have these. They probably won't make it back to the back because I'm going to be up here this whole time. But we'll have these right up here, these Lenten devotionals for you guys. And what you can take home is this sheet that tells about Jesus' journey to Jerusalem, where he's journeying to the cross. And this is a little devotional that you can read with your families right after dinner every night. And there are stickers in it. Ooh, does anyone like stickers? I know Marcus likes stickers. So this is going to be hard. You only do one of these a day, okay? Maybe Mommy and Daddy will hold on to these for some of us. We'll do one of these stickers a day, and you'll put it on the spot on here, and that's going to help us count the days that we're practicing to be followers of Jesus. Now, it's always good to be practicing to follow Jesus, but Lent is the time we especially focus on that, okay? So I want you guys to take one of these. They don't start until Wednesday, okay? So we're not going to put any stickers on today or tomorrow or Tuesday. Wednesday is the day it starts, okay? Does that sound good to you guys? And this will be a way that you guys can practice Lent with us. The other thing that we're going to have is Wednesday night services, and so you're invited to those. We'll eat a meal, and we'll come, and we'll sing, and we'll pray. And some of you guys have been a part of those before. I hope you might be again. Will you guys pray with me? Let's pray. Repeat after me, guys. Lord God, help us practice following you. Amen. Thank you, guys. Okay, so if you're going to Children's Church, you can line up at that door, or you're always welcome to stay in here with us.
The first reading for the Transfiguration of our Lord Sunday comes from Exodus. Moses came down from Mount Sinai. As he came down from the mountain with the two tablets of the covenant in his hand, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. When Aaron and all the other Israelites saw Moses, the skin of his face was shining, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the leaders of the congregation returned to him, and Moses spoke with them. Afterward, all the Israelites came near, and he gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him on Mount Sinai. When Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would take the veil off until he came out. And when he came out and told the Israelites what he had been commanded, the Israelites would see the face of Moses, and that the skin of his face was shining, and Moses would put the veil on his face again until he went in to speak with him. The word of the Lord. Psalmody of the day is Psalm 99, and will be read responsively by whole verse. The Lord is king, let the peoples tremble. He sits enthroned upon the cherubim, let the earth quake.
The Lord is great in Zion, he is exalted over all the peoples.
Let them praise your great and awesome name, holy is he.
Mighty king, lover of justice, you have established equity. You have executed justice and righteousness in Jacob.
Extol the Lord our God, worship at his footstool, holy is he.
Moses and Aaron were among his priests. Samuel also was among those who called on his name. They cried to the Lord, and he answered them.
He spoke to them in the pillar of cloud. They kept his decrees and the statutes that he gave them.
O Lord our God, you answered them. You were a forgiving God to them, but an avenger of their wrong.
Extol the Lord our God and worship at his holy mountain, for the Lord our God is holy. The second reading is from 2 Corinthians. Since then we have such a hope, we act with great boldness, not like Moses, who put a veil over his face to keep the people of Israel from gazing at the end of the glory that was being set aside. But their minds were hardened. Indeed, to this very day, when they hear the reading of the Old Covenant, that same veil still is there, since only in Christ is it set aside. Indeed, to this very day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their minds. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And all of us, with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, the Spirit. Therefore, since it is the God's mercy that we are engaged in this ministry, we do not lose heart. We have renounced the shameful things that one hides. We refuse to practice cunning or to falsify God's word. But by open statement of the truth, we command ourselves to the conscience of everyone in the sight of God. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 9th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now, after about 8 days after Jesus had told the disciples that the Son of Man must be persecuted and killed, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my Son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent and in those days told no one any of the things they had seen. This is the gospel of the Lord.
You may be seated. All right.
Okay, this is a weird story, right? It comes up in the lectionary every year from one of the Gospels, and so we're sort of desensitized a little bit. But as many times as I've read it and studied it and preached on it even, I have to tell you, I'm not exactly sure what's going on here. I mean, I can tell you a lot about it. We can talk all about the context, and I can remind you that at this point in Luke, Peter has just correctly identified Jesus as the Messiah. And then Jesus turns around and starts talking about how he will be rejected and killed, and that if anybody wants to be his disciple, they can deny themselves and take up their cross and follow him. That's what's been going on 8 days before. And I can tell you all kinds of things about the two characters that appear up there with Jesus on that mountain. Moses and Elijah. Do you remember that both of these men had famous encounters with God, close-up and personal encounters? You probably remember Moses' burning bush incident, right? That one's pretty familiar. But later, Moses goes up on the mountain at Mount Sinai to talk with God. And when he comes down, we heard in our Exodus reading that people are afraid to even come near him because his face is somehow shining and it scares them, right? We can talk about Elijah, who has an encounter with God too. In 1 Kings, he's running from the royalty who's out to get him because they don't like what he has to say. And he's hiding out on Mount Horeb in a cave when the voice of the Lord speaks to him and tells him that the Lord is about to pass by and that he should go out when that happens. And there's this great wind all of a sudden, but the Lord was not in the wind, right? And a great earthquake, and the Lord was not in the earthquake. And a great fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. But when Elijah hears the sound of sheer silence, he knows then that God is near. So he wraps his face up in his cloak and goes out to speak with God. These are intense encounters that these men have with God. And that's not all they have in common either, because both Moses and Elijah meet a really strange end. Neither one of them has what I'd call a normal death. Moses, as far as we know, dies in a pretty standard way, other than the fact that he was really, really old. But Deuteronomy tells us that nobody knows where Moses is buried. And this tradition develops among God's people that the reason nobody knows where Moses was buried is because it was God who buried Moses out there somewhere. That detail's not explicit in the Bible, but it does develop into this expectation among the people of Israel that Moses was somehow closer to God, held by God somewhere. And then there's Elijah, and you probably remember this story. It's a little more memorable. Elijah doesn't die. He's the only one in all of Scripture that we can say that about. He just gets taken up into heaven. You know, swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. That's Elijah, right? That's who that song is about. He's just taken up into heaven by a chariot of fire and horses of fire. It's weird. All of this is weird, and I can tell you more about it and about how the fact that these two heroes of the faith had these strange ends of their ministry, and that meant that people expected them to return, possibly, when the kingdom of God was at hand. But even if we know all this, this story about all this mysterious experience up there on the mountain is still astounding. It's still strange. When in the sight of Peter, James, and John, Jesus' face changes somehow. It's transfigured, and his appearance becomes dazzling white. I was up in my attic this week seeing if I could find my strobe light, and we're probably all glad that I did not find it this week, but I just had this dazzling white. What does that mean? I'm not sure. And Jesus is suddenly talking with these two prophets who had stood in the presence of God and who in the end were said to have been taken by God in strange ways. And then a voice from the cloud speaks, interrupting Peter and announcing, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." Despite all we know and can read about this passage, despite hearing it year after year, to me, this just still sounds really weird. And I can't say for sure how or why this encounter happens. All I really know is it sounds to me like the glory and mystery of a God who is beyond our comprehending. It's humanity encountering something beyond our understanding. But I can say confidently, even with all the unknown about this passage, I can say confidently one thing, and that is something is transformed here. Jesus has this encounter with the divine on that mountain, and he does not come away the same as he was before. Similar thing happened to Moses, right? He talks with God, and then his face is all shiny and scares people. Something has changed. Something has been transformed. I think this transformation is maybe the purpose of the church, to help people be transformed by their encounters with God, transformed into disciples. And then, if we can manage that, it's the mission of the church as the body of Christ in the world to help transform the rest of the world into something that looks more like the kingdom of God. This is the change that Transfiguration Sunday is about, and it's not a small change. Anybody in here read any of the Harry Potter books or see any of the movies? Okay, thank you all for not stranding me up here. So a few people, yes. Okay, so let me tell you, if you didn't, this is a series all about wizards and their training, okay? They have a class in the Harry Potter world at this school where they use magic to turn an object into something else, and that class is called Transfiguration, okay? And in this class, they aren't making little changes, right? It's not like they're using magic to change the color of your hair, like from brown to blue or something. Like, it's not a small change. It's like they're changing a desk into a pig, right? Something completely and totally different. And this is the scale of the change that we're talking about. Transfiguration. Big changes. Transfiguration is what happens when we encounter God, right? When God encounters us, big changes in how we act, who we care for, and what it looks like for us to love. We do believe that we are encountered by God. It happens when we look into the faces of those in need. It happens when two or three are gathered together and Jesus is among them, the body of Christ. And most profoundly, we believe that we encounter the true presence of God in, with, and under the bread and wine at this table when we gather for communion. We believe that as we eat and drink, we take Jesus' presence into us, we absorb it into our bodies on a cellular level, so that Jesus is with us, in us, literally empowering us. And like what happened on the mountaintop, when we encounter Jesus at this table, we're connected not just to Jesus and each other here around the table, but to this great cloud of witnesses, right? The faithful of every age. And all of this has to change us, doesn't it? Maybe not with faces literally shining. Although I will say, wouldn't it be incredible if following Jesus was so central to our life and to our work that people took notice and said, wow, I can really see the light of Christ shining in her or in him. Encountering the divine does have to change us. Even if at first all we can manage is to do a little better about what the voice from the cloud says, right? Listen to him. Listen to Jesus. Which I assume has to apply to all the things Jesus has been saying to this point in the Gospel of Luke, including the difficult things we've been hearing in the lectionary for the last couple of weeks about loving enemies and praying for folks who treat you badly. And I assume we're supposed to listen when Jesus promises abundant life. We're supposed to listen, and then we're supposed to live like we know that it's true. This Wednesday begins the season of Lent again for us, which is all about devoting our time to listening to Jesus and then to realigning our lives with God's will for us. So this Lent, find ways again to listen for God's will in your life. Come worship with us on Sunday mornings, Wednesday nights. Take home one of these devotionals I've been pushing. But find time for prayer and reflection about what God's will looks like for you specifically. If you look closely through the Gospel of Luke, almost every time there's a big event in Jesus' ministry, right before it, what Jesus has been doing is praying. In fact, in the gospel we just read, Jesus is praying on the mountain just before he's transfigured and starts glowing like that neon light. If we are going to be changed, if we are going to change the world to look more like the kingdom of God, if that's our goal, it seems like regular prayer is probably the way to start. So this Lent, this week, today, pray and be ready for an encounter with God. Make space for the light, the glory, the incomprehensible brightness that is God. And for the sake of the kingdom, expect to be changed. Thanks be to God.
Let us say what we believe by the Apostles' Creed found on the wall and in your book on 105. I believe in God, the Father Almighty.
United as one body in Christ, let us pray for the church, the world, and all those in need. We pray, Lord, for your church. Open us to listen to your word and to do your will. Direct us in paths of faithful service that reflect your love. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray, God, for the earth, your beloved creation, and our fragile home. We pray for mountains and prairies, for cities and wilderness areas. Renew places we have neglected or misused. Bring relief to places soggy with rain. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray, God, for the nations. Shine the light of truth into world relationships hindered by mistrust or misunderstanding. Bring freedom and stability to all nations. Shelter those who have been displaced by war, famine, or natural disaster. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray, God, for those in need, for those who struggle with shame or guilt. Bring clarity, God, to those whose judgment is clouded by fear. Comfort those who grieve. Heal the sick. Especially we pray for Burnett, Harold, Lydia, John, Lydia, Sheila, Gary, Sue, Barbara, Bill, Joanne, Jana, Gaynell, Sharon, Barbara, Jerry, the family of Eddie, Kathy, and all those we name now. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray, God, for this assembly. Deepen our faith and understanding. Guide our ministries of hospitality and outreach. Renew us in the baptismal promise to care for others and the world you have made. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. With thanksgiving, God, we remember all those who have gone before us in the faith and who have died. Inspire us by their example and bring us with them into the eternal light of your presence. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Receive our prayers and fill us with the radiance of your love through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. We share a sign of Christ's peace. Thank you, I'll let you. Thank you. Thank you.
Let us pray. Blessed are you, O God, maker of all things. You have blessed us with these gifts, ourselves, our time, and our possessions. Use us and what we have gathered in feeding the world with your love through the one who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give
our
thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who, sharing our life, lived among us to reveal your glory and love, that our darkness should give way to your own brilliant light. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, the gifts of God for the people of God. You may proceed.
Thank you.
Now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray. God of abundance, with this bread of life and cup of salvation, you have united us with Christ, making us one with all your people. Now send us forth in the power of your Spirit, that we may proclaim your redeeming love to the world and continue forever in the risen life of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Almighty God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen. We'll say together our mission statement. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world.
Go in peace, serve the Lord.